Yeah. Lighten it up with a little PJ on a Sunday morning. Excited to talk to Rich Sermonello here in a couple of minutes about college football before he comes on. I'll tell you, you should get your season ticket to Fantasy Glory now with the 2018 Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. It's not just a draft kit. It's a full season package that takes you from draft day to championship week. And it features in-depth analysis from some of your favorite fantasy sports radio experts. Go to rotoexperts.com, use code WINNER, W-I-N-N-E-R, to get 10% off on the exclusive Edge package and set aside a spot on the mantle for that 2018 championship trophy. So definitely go there, check out all the articles. You get rankings, you get projections, you get strategy articles for high stakes, best ball, auction, the whole kit and caboodle. So please go there. Go to rotoexperts.com, use code WINNER. And here we have my good friend, Rich Sermonello. Rich is going to talk to us about college football. First of all, how are you, buddy?
Doing great. How about you guys?
We're doing great. Excited to talk about college football. Rich is a director of college awards for the Maxwell Football Club. You can find him on SNY TV for NFL draft coverage, and he's the co-host right here on FNTSY of College Football Today. You can find it on Fantasy Sports Net. It's on Dish TV last year, and you can go to maxwellfootballclub.org to see some of his writing that he'll do throughout the year. So, I hate to start with the negative, but it's the biggest story in college football right now, and there's no avoiding the question. Ohio State, obviously in a mess with off-field issues related to Zach Smith, their now former wide receiver coach, and who has very long historical ties to Urban Meyer. Clearly, he's caught in a situation where he lied about his knowledge of the events related to Zach Smith and domestic violence incidences, potentially, in his marriage. And now Urban is on administrative leave. So the million-dollar question, and do you have any sense of whether or not Urban is going to be able to come back to be Ohio State's head coach?
Yeah, my hunch, guys, is I don't think Urban Meyer survives. Not in this climate. He has had past indiscretions, past problems at Florida, left Florida in a bit of a mess. I think he's going to leave Ohio State in somewhat of a lurch as well. I think he had prior knowledge, and if you have knowledge, I've seen, you know, and heard a lot of people say, well, you know, he wasn't the individual, he wasn't the culprit when it comes to Courtney Smith, and I understand that, but I think there's a lot of culpability if you're aware that you have a spousal abuser on your staff, and then keep that I don't care if you brought this to administrators at Ohio State University. If you keep that individual on your staff, and I also don't care if he has ties to Earl Bruce at Ohio State, he has to go. I hate to do apples and oranges. It's somewhat reminiscent to me of the Penn State situation earlier this decade where you could say, well, he wasn't the one who was doing it, but you kept him in your building. I think there's culpability there. I don't think Urban Meyer survives. Real quick, I think Ohio State has an interesting situation. Obviously, you don't get better if you lose Urban Meyer, but if you look at that staff, you have a lot of former head coaches. You have Kevin Wilson, who was a head coach at Indiana. You have Greg Schiano, former head coach at Rutgers. Ryan Day, an up-and-comer, a lot of folks don't know, he has ties to Chip Kelly back to the New Hampshire days. So I think they can sort of survive a little better than most staffs can.
Rich, I agree with you. I do think that Urban's days in Columbus are numbered. Before we do get to replacements, as you were mentioning there, they do have options on staff. There's already been some names floated around. I want to ask you what, if you can project what this might mean for Urban's career, if fired, moving forward. Do you think that a team would give him a chance, perhaps move to the NFL? What would you project?
Yeah, I that's a great question. You know, Urban's a complex guy. I mean, he's had, in terms of off-field, it's been a bit rocky. I mentioned Florida, not so much as when you go back to the Utah and the Bowling Green days, but he had some high profile transgressions on his team at Florida. Now you have this situation. I think this will be a difficult one to overcome, but young enough, time tends to heal all wounds, particularly when it comes to coaches as successful as an Urban Meyer, a national championship coach twice over. NFL is something that I have thought. I think he would translate pretty well to the NFL. He's not necessarily a rah-rah guy, a bit more of a CEO. I think he would translate pretty well to the NFL. And if you gave it a year or two, again, this would be a different situation career-wise if it was his wife that was in the crosshairs of that spousal abuse, then I think it would be, you know, end of his career in terms of coaching. But I do think this is something he could bounce back from in a couple of years. And listen, if all goes, you know, to hell, I mean, there's probably a spot on Art Briles' staff in Italy right now.
Fair point. That'd be a tough hill to die on in this temperature right now for an NFL team to go out and hire Urban, but I understand what you mean. He could conceivably do a mea culpa and land on an NFL staff, and maybe even as a head job. So on the Ryan Day thing, they obviously had two other guys with previous head coaching experience. They opted for Ryan Day. I'm very familiar with Ryan Day simply because he was a BC coach a couple of times over, offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach. In fact, Kevin, who's an Eagles fan, he's a quarterbacks coach there. So he's found himself in few instances at the end of a head coaching run, and that's why he's moved jobs around a bunch. But also, as you said, Chip Kelly ties. He played under Chip Kelly at New Hampshire, and he's gotten some really good experience, NFL experience, offensive coordinator experience at BC, now at Ohio State. Now he's an interim head coach. They're number three ranked team in the country, and with all of those other head coaches on staff, as you said, they might be able to withstand all of this.
Yeah, first of all, it was a surprise to me that Ryan was named the interim coach with Kevin Wilson and Greg Schiano. I thought one of those two individuals would have been tabbed as the interim and then possibly have that interim tag stripped in 2018 if it's a necessity. But I think the thinking from the administration is, you know, Ryan is an up-and-comer. I think he has a bright future, will be a head coach someday. Can he, you know, can he out Luke Fickle this and actually be the long-term head coach? Probably not. But the thinking, I believe, is, you know, let's keep Greg and Alex Grinch, by the way, another rising star, you know, with ties to New Hampshire, believe it or not. Alex Grinch, the new co-defensive coordinator from Washington State, did a brilliant job in the Palouse. So they have a tremendous staff. I think the thinking is, let's have Greg be the CEO of the defense. Let's have Kevin Wilson be the CEO of the offense. Let's have Ryan Day sort of be, you know, the head administrator of this organization. Now,
like
I've heard some people say, you know, forget it all. You know, forget about Ohio State this year. That's ridiculous. They have so much talent coming back. Again, that staff is mature. That staff has a lot of experience. Ohio State is still the team to beat in the Big Ten.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, Rich, though, is how much then does this still open up the Big Ten? Regardless if you still find Ohio State the favorite or not, this has to lower your expectations for them a bit, losing a coach like Urban Meyer. Yep. So how close now do you think the gap is between a Michigan State, a Wisconsin, a Michigan to Ohio State?
Yeah, listen, the Big Ten was going to be competitive no matter what because, you know, I think Michigan is a team that's being overlooked at this point. I'm a big Shea Patterson fan, love the defense of Don Brown, also with ties to BC. We'll talk about BC throughout this entire segment, I think.
Thank you.
Penn State with Trace McSorley. You guys mentioned Michigan State. Out west, you have Wisconsin, which looks very potent once again with Jonathan Taylor. So this was going to be a deep and competitive Big Ten regardless. If you take Urban Meyer out of that picture, the gap does narrow. But if I'm putting a pecking order together here on August the 5th, it still has to begin with Ohio State simply because of the abundance of talent they have. Nobody could match their talent on the field. And again, I have confidence in that staff to get through the gauntlet. Schedule early on, not too tough, Oregon State, Rutgers, and then you got that big week three matchup against Gary Patterson and TCU.
So I know you did some work with Phil Steele this summer. And by the way, this is Rich Sermonello. You can find him here on Saturdays during the college football season, doing College Football Today. And you can find him on Twitter at Rich Sermonello. And it's Rich, R-I-C-H, and Sermonello is C-I-R-M-I-N-I-E-L-L-O. So feel free to go there to see all of Rich's knowledge on display on Twitter. But I know you worked with Phil Steele. I was listening to a podcast with him yesterday. And he dropped some of the nuggets that you and I have been kind of talking about throughout this preseason. A couple of sleeper teams. He thinks TCU is really the smart money to win the Big 12. He thinks, despite Chip Kelly's arrival, UCLA could really flounder this year because of a tough schedule. And he also mentioned, and you can start wherever you want, Wisconsin, despite the fact that it went 12-0 last year, and he thinks they have they're the odds-on favorite to win the Big Ten West, that they have a much tougher schedule this time around. Road games at Iowa, at Michigan, at Northwestern, at Penn State, at Purdue, a much easier schedule than they had last year.
Yeah, the one I did, I spent 10 days with
much tougher schedule than they had last year.
Yeah, no, I knew what you meant. Yeah, I spent 10 days with Phil before the magazine came out, just getting that to the publishers. It was a great process. We talked about a lot of teams, some of which you mentioned here. UCLA, I'll begin with, great hire, arguably the best hire of the offseason. Hard not to like what Chip Kelly has done in the past in the Pac-12, but this is purely a talent play. They just don't have it. This is not all Josh Rosen. They have young quarterbacks. Devin Monster could be the quarterback, but they just don't have the talent on either side of the ball. Jalen Phillips, defensive end, is an exception. He's a big-time next-level player. But it's going to take at least a year. I think this is sub-500 this year for Chip. Get into a second-tier bowl game in 2019. Hopefully by 2020, you're competing for Pac-12 titles again. I think that would be the blueprint, the trajectory for Chip Kelly. TCU, Phil is more bullish on TCU than I am at this point. The league should be open with Oklahoma taking a step back in the post-Baker Mayfield world. My question for TCU, defense is always good, should be solid in the running game. I have two concerns, offensive line in Fort Worth, and then what do you get at quarterback? They have a heralded young quarterback in Sean Robinson, four-star former recruit, a high potential, but what did he do now that the lights are on? I'll throw out a couple of sleeper teams that I have, teams that I think, certainly if you're a gambler and you're looking at preseason win-loss expectations, where the bar is set. I'll go around the country real quick, and you guys could sort of digest it. In the East Coast, I like Boston College. Down South, Mississippi State. Midwest, I like Michigan. And I got two teams in the Pac-12, which might be a good segue into Pac-12 discussion. Utah in the South and Oregon in the North. If you're looking for surprise teams, I think both could exceed expectations.
Let me keep it right there with Oregon, because kind of going through some research and things like that, them not making the top 25, I saw some people felt like that was a bit of a surprise. They have the big name at quarterback as well with Justin Herbert, who people are expecting to be a first-round pick, and some people felt like him alone can guarantee them 8 wins or so. So were you surprised to see Oregon not hit into that top 25?
Yeah, I think a lot of that, Kev, has to do with concerns about coaching, which I don't agree with. Willie Taggart, an outstanding coach now at Florida State, but was there for 1 year. This isn't, similar to the situation when Chip left after his great run in Eugene. 1 year with Willie Taggart, he's out, and he's replaced. We talk about Ohio State and their experience on staff. I really like Oregon's new head coach, Mario Cristobal. He has had success, albeit in Conference USA. But if you go back to the FIU days, Mario was doing some really, really good things and then curiously was fired from that position. Now he's at Oregon. He's the head coach. Justin Herbert is a player that, and I think a lot of folks haven't seen him because he was injured for part of last season. If you want to start to conjure up in your mind who is this year's or who is next year's top quarterback in terms of the NFL draft, Justin Herbert has the arm talent, the size, the mobility outside of the pocket to be that guy. And the real reason why I like Oregon, too, very good in the trenches, not traditionally an Oregon staple, very good at the point of attack offensively and defensively. On the defensive side, Jalen Jelks. Offensive side, lots of experience. And the schedule for Oregon breaks exceedingly well. Who they match up with down south, who has to visit Outson Stadium from the north. Oregon is a team. I know Washington is the favorite. I know Stanford is Stanford with Bryce Love. But Oregon is a team that I think theoretically could win the Pac-12 North.
So you mentioned a couple of teams as sleepers, along with Oregon. Obviously, my alma mater, BC, mm-hmm. I think everybody likes it. Well, first of all, they have an over-under set at like 6.5 right now. So
for BC, it wouldn't... is that right?
Yeah, I think I saw wow. that recently. Okay. So, you know, I could see them getting to that no problem. But you like their offensive line and running game clearly.
Yeah, I do. When I evaluate teams in the offseason, I know a lot of people will look at the sexier positions, just quarterback. To me, I think that's a bit rudimentary. I like to look at the line of scrimmage, and typically both offense and defense. Nobody, maybe with the exception of Clemson, is going to handle A.J. Dillon in that offensive line. I mean, that is quintessential B.C. bully the opponent at the offensive line. Obviously, you're going to need to see more from Anthony Brown at quarterback. Mix things up, have a little bit of offensive balance. But the offensive line and A.J. running the ball, defensive line with Zach Allen, Ray Smith, Wyatt Ray, a player that Phil and I talked about out in Cleveland. Wyatt Ray is a kid who could be sort of a poor man's Harold Landry to complement Zach Allen defensively. The safety combination about as good as anybody in the country. So, typical BC defense, typical BC running game. If you get anything out of Anthony Brown, I think this could be a very good BC football team.
Rich, let me ask you quickly before we let you go. We've got about 30 seconds left just because you mentioned Michigan. Do you think this is Harbaugh's last chance to win the Big Ten?
Oh, hell no. No. Jim's got something great building there. As long as he wants to stay, he'll be fine. I know there's a lot of pressure. 0-3 against Ohio State. He's got to beat the Buckeyes. Got to win the Big Ten. I understand all of that. The pressure's not going away, but neither is Jim. He's recruiting elite players. You know, Shea Patterson with that defense. Watch a couple of young receivers, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Tariq Black, neither of whom really had a chance last year because the quarterback play was sketchy at best. With Shea Patterson, I'm telling you guys, Michigan, very dangerous. And if Jim ever gets through this year, wins the Big Ten, I tell you, he's going to be going to the moon in Ann Arbor.
Totally agree. So, very quick, Tua or Jalen?
It's got to be Tua, but I think they'll both play, guys. I think they'll both play. Jalen's got to pipe down a little bit, but I think both will play. I think you'll see both on the field a lot. Tua will be the starter, though.
Good stuff. Thank you, Rich. I appreciate it. As always, we'll continue to talk to you throughout the season. You can find him on College Football Today on the Fantasy Sports Network. We'll be back to talk a little bit more about college football with Kevin and I on FST. Thanks, Rich.